Hare Krishna. This podcast is a lecture by His Holiness Niranjana Swami on May 11, 2006 in Hartford, Connecticut. The Appearance Day of Narasimha Dev.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the fifth canto, chapter 18, text 8. Which is for that prayer by Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narasimha Dev. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jastejase Avira Virabhava Vajranaka Vajradamstra Kramashayam Randhya Randhaya Tamam Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Avayam Avayam Atman Bhuvishta Kumusham. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Narasimha Dev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Report. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4.22.39, Sanat Kumara speaks the following words to Maharaj Prithu. Yapada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya Kamashayam gratitam udgrathayam tisanta tadvam naritta matayo tayo pivudha sroto ganastam aranam bhaj vasudeva. Devotees always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet can very easily become free from hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to its fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruitive desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure bhakti devotional service as follows. Anivilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyanavritam anupulena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutam. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through furtive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unless one is completely freed of all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Narasimha Dev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amounts of gold. Thus, Hiranyakashipu was the perfect representative of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Nrsimhadev killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Nrsimhadev, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrsimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gunanjana Salaktya Chakshua Omnanitamina Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Okam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Vangayate Garim Nakritata Mahamande Shigurum Vinatamina Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutulay Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Nikti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Mi Vishesha Shanivari First Teacher Desi Tarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Harsh Shri Vasudeva Gaurav Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Today is Nrsimha Chaturdashi, appearance day of Lord Nrsimhadev, and as is appropriate on the appearance day of the Lord, we should speak something about the purpose of the Lord's descent, his different pastimes, and certainly we cannot speak about Lord Nrsimhadev without speaking about his devotee Prahlad, because they are inseparable in the sense that Prahlad Maharaj demonstrated by his ideal example the characteristic of pure devotion to the Lord, and the Lord demonstrated by his supreme position to be all that person who will always give protection to a devotee who is fully surrendered to him. Of course, we know that Lord Nrsimhadev, we offer prayers every day at the end of our arti. We chanted the prayers just now, the Namaste Narasimhaya prayers, and also prayers from Jayadev Goswami, Dasavatar, which is Tavakara Kamala, Hare Nakam. So daily we are also worshipping Lord Nrsimhadev as a prayer for protection. Prabhupada actually incorporated this prayer as a part of our daily worship way back in the beginning of our movement. And these prayers were also chanted even by Lord Chaitanya himself, as described in Chaitanya-charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya, whenever, before he would go to take his darshan of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, first he would go to Lord Nrsimhadev, and he would bow down, offer his obeisances, full obeisances to Lord Nrsimhadev, and he would chant prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev and would begin to dance. He also did this, actually, I think in when he was traveling in South India, he visited the temple of Jayada Nrsimha, which is also a deity of Lord Nrsimhadev. And when Lord Chaitanya appeared in that place, Lord Chaitanya began chanting and dancing very ecstatically, and also began reciting prayers. And the prayers he was reciting were these prayers from the Nrsimha Purana, Namaste Narasimhaya Balada Namaste. So Lord Nrsimha, Lord Chaitanya showed by his own example that he worshipped Lord Nrsimhadev. And as we said also before, going into the take darshan of Jagannath, he would also chant prayers before the Nishinga Deva. I think he would chant Jai Nishinga, Shri Nishinga, Jai Nishinga, Paladesha, Jai Padmukha Padmabringam. He would chant that prayer and offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nishinga Deva, who was the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj, who was always beholding. He's just like a Hanavi, who was always beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. So Lord Chaitanya would offer this prayer. And he would also offer another prayer. Another prayer that he would offer would, I don't remember the Sanskrit, I think it was a prayer by Srila Sridhar Swami, where he offers his, he says that although the lion is very ferocious, lioness is very ferocious. She is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although Lord Nishengadev is very ferocious to the demons and atheists like Hiranyakashipu, he is very, very soft and kind to his devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So Lord Chaitanya would offer that prayer also before Lord Nishengadev. And he would chant this prayer again and again and again, and we repeat it again and again and again. In fact, it is also described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, he would regularly hear the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. He would go to Gadadhar Pandit, who was one of his associates, and who would speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur described that Lord Chaitanya would listen to this pastime at least 100 times, hundreds of times, I think, about Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. Now, of course, Lord Chaitanya, he came to teach devotional service by his example. And so we should look at his example. And we see from his example that he worshipped, prayed to, meditated upon also Lord Nishingadeva and Prahlad Maharaj. Otherwise, why would he listen more than 100 times the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? So we certainly understand that by that example that Lord Srila Prabhupada also established the worship of Lord Nishingadeva, because Lord Nishingadeva is meant to give protection to his devotees. Protecting the devotees, certainly, of course, I remember many times when we would go out chanting in the streets, and sometimes we would have to face, I remember one time in Harvard Square, it's in 1973, we went out and had Harinam and a bicycle gang came before the Harinam party with chains. And we didn't know what they were going to do. We were standing in front of the Harvard Co-op, I guess they call it the coop, and it was a very loud kirtan, and they were standing and they would look very menacing upon the Harinam party. We didn't know what to do. There were about 15 of us, and what else do you do under those circumstances? We started chanting prayers to Lord Nishingadev. Were you with us in the Harinam? Yeah. Were you with us in the Harinam of the Kuf?
I remember many times chanting the Nishinga prayers because some...
Yeah, well, this was particularly, there was about, I don't know, about 6 or 7.
Bicycles or motorcycles?
Motorcycles.
Motorcycles, yeah. That's a difference.
Yeah. These days it's probably not much difference.
Okay, it's a lot worse than a bicycle.
I was thinking that too.
Motorcycle gang. I'm sorry. It's a motorcycle gang. You know, I grew up in Lowell. And Lowell is the headquarters for Hell's Angels. Lowell, I think they might even still be, I'm not sure.
No, they're still around.
They're still around. Oh, but anyway, yeah. Lowell, Massachusetts was the headquarters for the Hell's Angels. And, you know, I as a little kid, I used to see the Hell's Angels going by everywhere. You know, and
motorcycle. Anyways, the natural, spontaneous thing to do when a devotee is thinking about protection, of course, is to chant prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. And this particular evening, I remember, we chanted and we kept him at bay for some time, but at one point, I think it did get a little rough. Because I remember Granny had to take one down. And he was pretty tough at that time. He took him down because he was attacking, you know, put him down and he hit him with a car shell. It got a little wild. But somehow they stopped because we kept on chanting and they left. They didn't do anything more than that. But the protection, of course, is not just simply that type of protection. As soon as we think of protection, we think of physical protection. But here we see also that Lord Nrsingadev, although he protects his devotee Prahlad Maharaj, he's also protecting his devotee within the heart. In fact, Srila Sridhar Maharaj also quotes one verse in his commentary to the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, "I offer my obeisances to Lord Nrsingadev, who is always enlightening Prahlad Maharaj within his heart. And he's always protecting the devotees from attacks of omniscience." He's protecting his devotees from the attack of omniscience. He's enlightening Prahlad Maharaj within the heart. He has a face just like a lion. And his mercy is spread everywhere just like the moonshine. I offer my obeisances to Lord Nrsingadev again and again. So, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, this is Sridhar Swami, the commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam. He wrote this prayer in glorification of Lord Nrsingadev, describing how he enlightens Prahlad Maharaj from within the heart. And he protects his devotees. How is he protect? He protects his devotees from the attacks of nations. This is another form of protection of Lord Nrsingadev. The attack of nations, or as described in this prayer, as Prahlad Maharaj is praying for protection, he's praying to Lord Nrsingadev, "Please take your fingernails, which you used to destroy the demon Hiranyakashipu, and enter into my heart, and destroy with your fingernails this demon-like desires for enjoyment in this material world." He says, "Kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this world. Appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world." So this is also another type of protection on which one can pray to Lord Nrsingadev for, and Prabhupada explains that here at the end of his commentary. He says that any devotee who is aspiring to become free from material desires, he should offer his respectful prayers to Nrsingadev, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. In other words, the Lord can act from within the heart and protect his devotee from demon-like desires, the fruit of activity. And just as Hiranyakashipu is here classified as the ideal example of a demon. Why is he classified for this in this way? Because Hiranyakashipu was a person who had interest to enjoy his senses to the utmost, to the supreme degree. By performance of his austerities, he wished to usurp the position of Lord Brahma and become the Lord of the universe. And not only that, but by taking that position, he wanted to stop all sacrifices to that personality to whom he considered to be his greatest enemy, was Lord Vishnu. He considered him to be the enemy because Lord Vishnu had killed his brother Hiranyaksha, and he wanted to seek vengeance. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu, in his attempt to become so powerful so that he could enjoy, he wanted to receive the benediction that he could enjoy eternally. immortality, as we know. And he performed very severe austerities to appease Lord Brahma. And by dint of his austerities, by standing on one foot, controlling his breath, and he became extremely powerful by these austerities, and he disseminated fire throughout the entire universe, heat throughout the entire universe by his austerities and by his control. All the demigods were feeling the impact of these austerities which he was performing, and they appealed to Lord Brahma, please go see what this Hiranyakashipu wants. So they appealed to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma, as we know, appeared before Hiranyakashipu, who performed these austerities. And he had actually performed them for such a long time that it's described that his body became completely consumed by an anthill that had formed around his body and consumed the flesh on his body, taken all the blood out of his body, and he was sustaining his life in his bones by dint of his austerities and by his determination. And therefore, Lord Brahma appeared before him, and at first he couldn't even see him because he was surrounded by this anthill. And then he appeared in that place, and then Hiranyakashipu made his request before Lord Brahma for the benediction which he wished to receive. And as we all know, that benediction which he wanted was in essence to become immortal. He said, please give me immortality. And Lord Brahma says, how can I do that? I am not immortal. How can I give you the benediction of immortality? I cannot give you something that I myself do not possess. So then Hiranyakashipu then tried to ask for various benedictions which would, in essence, what he considered would produce the same result. It has to be killed by neither day or night, by man or beast, inside or outside. And in various ways, Lord Brahma fulfilled all of these requests of Hiranyakashipu and gave him the benediction by which Hiranyakashipu thought that now I cannot be killed by anyone. But why did he want to do that? He wanted that immortality because he wanted to defy the existence of God, and he wanted to actually usurp that position by becoming what he considered to be the supreme enjoyer of the universe and lasting enjoyment forever. And his type of enjoyment, which he was addicted to, of course, was taking intoxication, accumulating wealth and power, and enjoying beautiful women. And this he wanted to do forever. So, therefore, Prabhupada explains that Hiranyakashipu, he personified the materialistic person perfectly by his desires that he wished to have. But any materialistic person who is a demoniac in this way, certainly he cannot tolerate a person who is a devotee of the Lord, because a devotee is somebody who shows by his own example and who preaches strongly and firm faith, as it just so happens to turn out to be his own son, Prahlad, did to his father. And he preaches that ultimately the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Controller. Everything must be offered to him. There's nothing is meant for our enjoyment. Everything is meant for his enjoyment. And life's perfection is to satisfy the Supreme Lord by dint of all of our activities, which are meant to be offered for his pleasure. So Hiranyakashipu considered such a mentality to be a person who was possessed of who was siding with the enemy. The enemy was Lord Vishnu, and somehow or other, a person had taken birth in his family as a son, whom he adored and loved, wanted trained, and who wanted him to adopt the same mentality as him, and yet somehow or other, this devotional experience continuously manifested in Prahlad and was displayed before his father. In fact, the whole story is there in the Bhagavatam, how Hiranyakashipu invited Prahlad, his son, to come before him and asked him to please tell me what it is that you've learned from your teachers. Sanda and Amarkat is the teachers. They were the teachers of Prahlad and all the other sons of all the other demons. they were also, I think they were the sons of Sukracharya, right? Sons of Sukracharya. And Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, please tell me, give me the essence of what you have learned. And Prahlad Maharaj says to his father, he says, oh, best of the demons, king of the demons, best of the Asuras. He says, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, he said that any person who has accepted a temporary material body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety. Because of having accepted this temporary material body, certainly embarrassed by anxiety, because of having fallen into a very dark well, which is full of suffering. He said that one should give up this position and go to the forest, or as Prabhupada explains in his, more clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, or that place where the glories of the Supreme Personality of God have prevailed, and one should take shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So this was Prahlad's answer to his father. Tell me what you learned. Now, of course, Hiranyakashipu expected to hear something else. And his immediate suspicions is that somehow or other, somebody had infiltrated into the school. Some Vaishnava, a worshipper of Vishnu, had infiltrated in the school, and he blames Sandana Marka. How have you let the enemy come into the school and contaminate my son like this? Obviously, somebody has come into the school and has influenced him in this way. And he became very angry at Sandana Marka, who said that, well, we're not aware of anybody who's done this. Hiranyakashipu therefore said, take my son back, chastise him, do whatever is necessary, and make sure he's properly trained to be a first-class demon. So, of course, Sandana Marka, they asked him, how did this happen? Where did you learn all these things? And first, before they said that, they chastised him and said, why are you speaking in this way? And they actually dedicated themselves to see that they became trained in all kinds of diplomacy and knowing about friends and enemies and how to protect one's material interests. Everything that was required to become a successful king who could take over the throne eventually of Hiranyakashipu and to learn all of these things. So then, after a very intensive study, then Prahlad Maharaj went back before Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu now asked him to please tell me, give me the essence of what you've learned from your teachers. So this time Prahlad Maharaj's spontaneous response was Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam Param Sedam Pachanam Vadanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Vedanam. So he said that devotional service, which is rendered by the devotee, consists of these nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about the glories, remembering the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping the Lord with all kinds of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, befriending the Lord, surrendering everything to the Lord. He's described these different processes, the nine processes of devotional service. And when Hiranyakashipu heard this from Prahlad Maharaj, then he became extremely angry and immediately took his anger out on Sandana Marka. He said, what have you been teaching my son? and he was threatening them for teaching him these things. And Sandana Marka said, no, actually, please, do not punish us. We have not taught him any of these things in any particular way. And Sandana Marka explained that we've only been teaching him about everything that you've instructed us to teach him, and we don't know where all these things are coming from. So, of course, Prahlad Maharaj eventually not only reveals his disposition, but he reveals from where has he gotten all of this devotion to the Supreme Lord. In fact, he describes in very, very famous, well-known verses of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One verse is Matirna Krishne Paratakswatobha Mitopi Padyeta Griha Vatana Adanta Gobhya Vishitam Tamisham Punak Punaschavata Chavananam. He says, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons who are addicted towards sense enjoyment make progress towards hellish conditions in life and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna, they are never aroused either by their own efforts, by the efforts of others, or by a combination of both. So first he says that, and then the next verse he says that persons who are strongly entrapped by the idea of sense enjoyment and cannot control the senses, who have accepted as their leader or spiritual master a similarly materially attached man, they cannot know that to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to go back home, back to Godhead, is the ultimate goal of life. He says, as blind men led by another blind man, they fall into a ditch. Similarly materially attached men who are led by another materially attached man, they are bound by the ropes of the fruit of labor, which are made of very strong cords. And thus they have to undergo repeated birth and death again and again and again in the material world. So Prahlad Maharaj is leading up to this another most important verse, which the next verse is Naishamatistavara Rupamangwin Sprishatyanata Pagamogyarata Mahiya Samparajo Nishekam Niskinshananam Vanita Yavat. He says, then unless one smears upon his body the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava who's completely freed from material contamination, persons who are inclined towards this, smears upon his body the dust from the lotus feet of a person, of a devotee, of a Vaishnava who's completely freed from material attachments, persons who are inclined towards devotional service of the Lord cannot approach the Lord unless they smear this dust upon their body. Only by rendering service to the Lord and by approaching the Lord in this way can one become freed from all material contamination. So Prahlad Maharaj is thereby alluding that whatever devotion which I've received as a result of having gained the association of my spiritual master, Narada Muni. Now, of course, Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj got the association of Narada Muni when Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother. And this, of course, all took place at the time when Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerities. He had gone off to perform his austerities for, I forget how many, 100 celestial years or something like that, was performing his austerities. And during this time, he had already become very powerful, and the demigods, they wanted to try to get back their position, their kingdom, and therefore the demigods, led by Indra, they attacked to get back that which had been usurped by Hiranyakashipu. And Indra, he personally wanted to take the wife of Hiranyakashipu, within whose womb the seed had been left by Hiranyakashipu. And that child, of course, was Prahlad. So Indra wanted to take the wife of Hiranyakashipu, and he wanted to kill her. And therefore, Narada appeared in that place and said, stop, you cannot kill this woman. You don't understand. And Indra said, what do you mean I must kill this woman? Don't you know that the evil seed of Hiranyakashipu is in this womb? And therefore that seed will lead to the destruction of everything. It must be killed. And Narada Muni said, no, actually, you will not be able to kill the person who is within the womb of this woman, because he is a great devotee of the Lord. And therefore, you should leave him alone, and leave her alone, and allow me to take her. So, therefore, Narada Muni took Kayadu to his ashram, and allowed her to render service there in the ashram. And while performing service there in the ashram, Narada Muni would speak the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prahlad Maharaj heard everything while within the womb of his mother and remembered everything. Of course, I was telling Piyari that Prahlad Maharaj is described in the Harivamsa. It's also explained, I think, by Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha, that Prahlad Maharaj, in a previous birth, he was actually the son of a great Brahmin named Vasushama and his wife Suhila. They had five sons. And Prahlad, his name was Vasudev. He was the eldest of the five sons. Four of the sons, they were very good Brahmins, very good devotees of the Lord. The eldest, who was Vasudev, was actually Prahlad in his previous life. And he was very degraded. And his degradation came as a result of his association with a prostitute. By that association with the prostitute, he became more and more degraded. And it's described that one time he was there with this prostitute, and they got into a big argument. And the result of that argument was, he decided that he was going to fast that day. They both fasted that day, I think. We got so angry, they didn't eat anything that day, and they stayed up all night. And it just so happened, that night happened to be Nrisimha Chaturdasi. It's the same titi when Lord Nrisimhadeva appears. So because of fasting completely on that night and staying up that night, therefore he was to become a great devotee his next life of Lord Nrisimhadeva. So, anyways, this is given in the Harivamsa, where it explains of how Prahlad Maharaj actually became a great devotee of Lord Nrisimhadeva. So, he had taken his birth from the womb of his mother and, of course, became the great devotee. And so much description is given there in the Srimad Bhagavatam of how Prahlad displayed great devotion to the Lord and fearlessness in the face of his father, who made so many attempts to punish his son, even tried to kill him, and could not successfully kill him. He tried to throw him off a mountain. He tried to arrange for him to be poisoned, to be trampled by elephants, to put into a vat of burning oil, to be put tortured by demons, given to venomous snakes before. Every attempt was made, but somehow nothing could affect or influence his son. He could not be killed. That protection was there by the Lord. And what was the protection? Why was that protection there? Because Prahlad Maharaj had such deep faith and conviction in the Supreme Personality of Godhead that even in the face of being killed by his own father, Prahlad Maharaj would not bend. In fact, Hiranyakashipu even described his son's mentality. He's saying that every time I try to get my son to bend from his worship of Lord Vishnu, he says, my son's mind is just like a dog's tail. He says, when you try to straighten a dog's tail, as soon as you let go, it immediately goes back. He says, similarly, that is like the mind of my son. I cannot divert his mind from the worship of this Lord Vishnu. And therefore, of course, Hiranyakashipu became so tormented by the fact that his son was a worshipper of Lord Vishnu, that finally, in his anger, he decided that he was going to personally kill him himself. And then, of course, we know the whole story when Prahlad happened to be there in the palace, and then he asked Prahlad Maharaj, where do you get the strength to defy my strength? Don't you know I am the most powerful being in the universe? And Prahlad told him, he says, I'm getting my strength from the same place you've gotten your strength. Only difference is I know it and you don't. Huh? Prahlad Maharaj has got his strength, obviously. He got his strength by his firm faith in the Lord. And therefore, although Hiranyakashipu had made so many previous attempts to kill his son, now he was thinking that I will personally sever your head from your body and kill you myself. And he asked him, he said, where is your Lord? And he said, my Lord is everywhere. Huh? He's everywhere. And then he asked, is he in this pillar?
Yes.
Prabhupada in one lecture, he said that Prahlad Maharaj looked up and Lord Nrisimhadeva was sitting on top of the pillar And when Prahlad, and Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, is he in this pillar? Prahlad looked up and Nrisimhadeva actually winked at him. And he said, yes, Father. And then, of course, as we know, Hiranyakashipu took his sword and smashed the pillar with his sword. From off from that pillar, Lord Nrisimhadeva took his birth. He took his birth from a pillar in this particular pastime. Lord Nrisimhadeva's father was a pillar. He took his birth in this way, and of course he appeared because of the strength of the devotional service of his son Prahlad to protect his devotee Prahlad. So Prahlad, in this prayer that we've read today, we're reading about how the Lord protects, not only protects his devotee and the ways that we have described in protecting Prahlad Maharaj from the hands of his father and from so many other demons who attempted to kill him, but Prahlad Maharaj's enlightenment, as we described in that verse by Sridhar Swami, he says that I offer my obeisance to Lord Nrisimhadeva, who always enlightens Prahlad from within his heart. And he always protects his devotees from the attacks of Deshas. So Lord Nrisimhadeva can protect his devotees also from the attacks of Neshans. And what is this Neshans? This attack of Neshans is what's described right here, the demon-like desires for food of activity, to enjoy the material world to the utmost. A devotee should pray. He should pray. Chanting these prayers to the Lord is one of the symptoms or characteristics, as we said, of devotion, 9 processes of devotional services. One of them is offering prayers to the Lord, glorifying the Lord, praying to the Lord, please protect me from these materialistic desires. In fact, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he describes in one of his writings, I think it's Bhajan Rahasya, he says that a devotee must make an effort to become freed from these anarthas or desires that are there within the heart. He says devotee makes no effort to become free from anarthas, then it is not possible for him to actually advance in devotional service, because he will not get the mercy of the holy name of the Lord. He said even by repeated attempts again and again and again, he will not be able to become free. He said only when a devotee before the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord falls down and cries with tears in his eyes. He says, in that way, in that state of mind, the devotee can actually be helped, and the Lord will act from within the heart, because of the devotee's praying in this way, to help within the heart, to remove these anarthas from within the heart. To give the list of anarthas, there's so many different types of anarthas, but essentially anartha means that which is not valuable. Anartha. We think it's valuable. But it has no real value. But these anarthas have plagued the heart. And these anarthas have to be overcome, just as the demons have to be destroyed. And the demons are destroyed by the Lord. In the same way, these demon-like desires within the heart are destroyed by the Lord Himself, who acts within the heart of the devotee. How does the Lord act within the heart? From those devotees who develop the urge to hear and chant about Him. The Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Super Soul in the heart of all living beings, He acts within the heart of the person and destroys the desire of enjoyment within the heart of that person, who develops the urge to hear His messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. When a devotee develops the urge, the desire, then the Lord acts from within the heart and removes anarthas. He acts to protect his devotee. But if a devotee makes no effort, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if he makes no effort whatsoever to become free from these, then how can he expect these unwanted desires to go away? And unless he understands the danger of these unwanted desires, he'll never consider even the necessity of wanting them to go away. What is the danger? This is also described here. The danger, as we already explained, the danger is that the living entity being bound by the ropes of fruit of labor, will have to undergo repeated births and deaths in the material world. Bound by strong, very strong cords. We quoted these verses of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj very emphatically in his teachings to his classmates, he describes the dangers of what happens to those who are addicted to sense enjoyment, how they waste their lives in the pursuit of sense enjoyment. He says in childhood that so much of their lives, 50% of their life is wasted. If they may live 100 years, 50% of their life is wasted by sleep. Then childhood, another 10 years of their life is wasted because they're completely ignorant. And then in their youth, they're engaged in frivolous activities. And in their old age, and when they can't even enjoy 20 years of their life are wasted there. And then when they have the best years of their life, what do they do with the best years of their life? They pursue madly after comforts and enjoyment in the world. And he warns his 5-year-old classmates, he's warning all of them, of the dangers of wasting a life in the pursuit of sense enjoyment, being addicted by material desires. And the result, of course, is one becomes bound by the ropes of the fruit of labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they undergo repeated birth and death in the material world. Or as Prahlad Maharaj described very graphically to his father when he described the verse of Griha Andhakupam, he described that such persons, what happens to them is they fall into a very, very dark well, which is, and they become materially embarrassed. They become embarrassed by material anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well which is full of suffering. We gave the example once before of how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes what this dark well is. He tells the story about the king in the forest, who was in the forest and then was being attacked by a ferocious tiger. And in an attempt to protect himself from this ferocious tiger, he decided to grab onto some branches and lowered himself into a well. And while he was within this well, lowering himself into the well, at the bottom of the well he saw there was no water, but there was only poisonous snakes who were lunging up, trying to bite him with their venom. So outside the well was a tiger who was going to devour him. And below him were poisonous snakes, venomous snakes, lunging up, trying to get him. He was holding on to 2 branches, holding very dearly. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, what are these 2 branches? These 2 branches represent pious and impious activities, which one performs throughout his life. And he looks up at the top of the well, and when he sees, while he's holding on to these 2 branches, there are 2 mice who are chewing away at the branches. And these 2 mice are chewing away at the branches. They're chewing gradually and gradually, and he is shaking. Because below him are these poisonous snakes, which represent all types of material sufferings that come in the deep, dark well of materialistic life. Right? And what is that tiger? Tiger is representing death. And the 2 branches, they represent, as we said, pious and pious activities, and the 2 mice, they are day and night. Day and night is going by. And he's holding on. Can't go below, can't go above. And meanwhile, these branches are becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur extends the example a little bit farther. He says, on these 2 branches, there is a honeycomb of bees. And the bees are stinging. Bees are stinging means like these, bitten by material desires. And what is happening while these bees are forming a honeycomb? The honeycomb begins to overflow and starts coming down the branches. So in this state, he's holding on to the branches out of fear, and the honey starts dripping down. He takes the honey into his mouth and he thinks, oh, this is very nice. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this is the materialistic way of life. People, for a little flickering pleasure of sense enjoyment, they think this is very nice. But they don't see that below them is the snakes, poisonous snakes. Above them is cruel death. Pious and impious activities, and day and night are passing. And what is happening? That they're coming closer and closer. It's an inevitable destruction. This is the danger. But we don't understand the danger. We become comfortable and we don't understand the danger of this world. and having to be bound by the ropes of fruit of labor. Therefore, devotees like Prahlad Maharaj demonstrate by their example, even a 5-year-old boy could understand as a result of his devotional service, as a result of his firm faith in Lord Narsingadev, that Lord Narsingadev appeared to give protection to his devotee Prahlad. He protected him because Prahlad only wanted to dedicate his full life, everything, for the service of the Lord. And even when the Lord wanted to give him a benediction, what did Prahlad say? Wonderful examples. We can end on these points about Lord Narsingadev. About Prahlad and Narsingadev, as we said, they're inseparable. He said that although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Narsingadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Otherwise, O my Lord, O supreme instructor of the entire world, you were so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. O my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. O my Lord, when a human being is able to give up all the material desires in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. O my Lord, full of 6 opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person in the form of a wonderful lion and man, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desires any kind of material opulences, either in this life or in the next. Nonetheless, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration of time occupied by Manu. The Lord was instructing Prahlad to replace his father on the throne and to take the position of the king, but Prahlad Maharaj, of course, would never become contaminated by it. This is the benediction the Lord had given to him. And of course, when Prahlad finally asked the Lord for one thing, he said, I simply beg that my father, he committed some sinful activity. He said, I wish that he be excused for all of these sinful activities. And this was Prahlad. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj showed by his example also in his prayer to the Lord his selflessness, that he did not want anything for himself. He only wanted that his heart be freed from material desires, and he only wanted to ask that his father be forgiven for all his sinful acts that he had committed against him and against the Lord. This, of course, is what prompted the appearance of Lord Narsingadev in this world to protect his devotee Prahlad, and we see how the Lord protected him by enlightening Prahlad within his heart, in the same way he can protect his devotees who will be attacked by the nescience of material desires. For those devotees who remember these prayers, who remember these pastimes, and who make the effort each day to pray to the Lord to protect them from the onslaught of the material world, because only by the mercy of the Lord can one possibly overcome the obstacles of conditional life by the grace of the Lord. It is not possible to overcome the external energy of the Lord, which is very, very powerful, by our own efforts alone. If we may try to fight against the strong forces of the illusory energy, which are every day attacking us here and there in our senses, and what to speak of, even existing there within our hearts, then we have to petition the Lord with prayer. We have to pray to Lord Narsingadev, we have to pray, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, with tears in one's eyes, one has to fall at the feet of the holy name of the Lord, the lotus feet of the holy name, with tears, and pray to become freed from these desires within the core of the heart. And then, the result is that a devotee can actually get the assistance of the Lord, and what to speak of, the assistance of the devotees of the Lord, who also help, both externally and internally within the heart. They also give their assistance to help us, to give us strength that we need to overcome the influence of the external energy of the Lord. Without this spiritual strength, it is very, very difficult to continuously fight against the illusory energy. So Srila Prabhupada would oftentimes say that when a devotee actually begins devotional service, he is declaring war against the illusory energy. So therefore, that is what takes place in the life of anybody who declares war. When you declare war against the illusory energy of the Lord, which is very powerful, then we have to understand that we require the protection of a very powerful army to protect us from the enemy. And that powerful army is none other than the Lord Himself. Just as Arjuna, when given the chance to be given Krishna's army or Krishna Himself, Arjuna immediately accepted Krishna to fight for his side and rejected Krishna's army. He was not interested. In the same way, we should understand that even we may get the most powerful forces in this world, if we don't have the mercy of the Lord, we cannot fight against life. Therefore, this prayer for mercy or prayer for protection is, as Srila Prabhupada actually explains, this chanting of Hare Krishna is our prayer for protection. This chanting of these prayers to Lord Narsingadev is our prayer for protection. If we pray in this way, the Lord, who is very merciful, as the holy name of the Lord is so merciful, even more merciful than the form of the Lord. Because the holy name of the Lord is, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, the holy name is even more merciful than the deity, because even if one commits offenses to the deity, then he can never be redeemed. The only way he can be redeemed by his offenses to the deity is by chanting. Therefore, God, such is the power and the mercy of the holy name. The holy name of the Lord is so forgiving that if we petition the holy name of the Lord and chant very sincerely with a desire to eradicate the sinful desires within the core of our heart and to forgive us for our past sins, then the Lord will protect. This is also the protection which is being spoken of here in this purport by Srila Prabhupada to this prayer of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narsingadev. So, this is a little bit of the pastimes of Lord Narsingadev and his devotee Prahlad Maharaj and its relevance to this particular prayer of Prahlad for protection.